Good morning, Lighthouse family. It is good to see you all. We want to welcome you this beautiful Sunday morning. I love looking out and seeing all of the different ages. Isn't God good? From young to old, we can all come in and celebrate and worship together. And I'm so thankful we serve a God who isn't just for the young or just for the old. He is for us all, isn't he? So he is so good. And today is Youth Sunday, so we encourage our young people to get involved in ministry. And this morning I have Aubrey helping with announcements.
Vacation Bible School starts this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at OLC School. See flyer at the door for details. Good job.
All right, and then also this week on Wednesday, we have our Uptown service. So we will not be having services here at the church, but you can join us in the middle of Cary. If you drive on the main road, you can't miss us. We'll be on the right-hand side at the gazebo. We have free hot dogs or whatever meal they're providing this time. So there's a free meal for you. But we want you to just come prayerfully, look around and find someone to talk to. Find someone just to say, Jesus loves you, or can I pray for you? Or just, we're up there to minister to the town of Cary. So everybody, young and old, everyone is welcome to come up on Wednesday. That starts at 7 p.m. If you would like to donate any food items, Sister Tracy, can you wave your hand? See Sister Tracy, and she'll point you in the right direction of what is needed and who you need to talk to for donating food for Target. And we do that every other Wednesday during the summer, so we're super excited about that.
Finishing Well Bible Study meets every Thursday here at the church at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome to attend.
And then, so we have stuff going on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Saturday we have a Hispanic meet and greet. So we don't want you all to come, unless you're Hispanic, but we do want you to pray. So please be prayerful this week. We've sent flyers out. We've talked to some interpreters in Upper Sandusky, and we're just praying that the community will be willing to come. We're providing a free meal for them, and we're working towards that Hispanic church plant. So please be in prayer. How many of you know prayer changes things? So we want to pray that the right people come, that we are able to minister and help that community.
There will be a breakfast on Father's Day here at the church from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for all boys and men.
And then coming up down the road a little bit, but we want you to save the date and plan to come. On Saturday, July 8th, we are going to be doing a fundraiser here at the church for the Hancock Gospel Pavilion at the fairgrounds. So it's just going to be a gospel sing. They're going to have different groups coming in to sing, and they're just taking an offering. So we encourage everyone, there's no set charge to get in or anything like that. But if you want to enjoy some good Christian music, a time of fellowship, we're going to have some cookies and punch afterwards. And again, it's for the whole family, so everyone's welcome. And if you want to bring an offering to give towards that, how many of you have ever been to the fair and you just enjoyed hearing that Christian music? Where you walked by or you went in and sat for a little bit, and in the midst of everything else going on, there's some light shining. And so we want to support that ministry as well.
Talent Expo practice right after service for all teens and kids.
All right. And we have Brother Jesse and Lincoln coming with the call to worship. Can we give Aubrey a hand today for helping us out? Great job, Aubrey.
Well, praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here on Sunday morning. Amen. Thank you for coming out and supporting the work that God is doing. Because God is doing a good work. Amen? And as Pastor Alicia said, this is Lincoln, and he's going to read a scripture for us this morning.
The reason why I found this scripture very important is because if you're ashamed to tell others about the Word of God, then it never gets told. It's in 2 Timothy, verse 8. Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news.
Amen. Good job. Good job. So I had a couple other things that I wanted to share this morning. Three miracles that God has done in the last month. And it goes along with not being ashamed to tell others about what God has done, what he can do, and who he is in us. So just take a few minutes here, but last week on Memorial Day, my dad, who's 73, he ate something the night before, and it felt like it got lodged somewhere in here. He was breathing fine, but he couldn't eat or drink anything. The moment he drank something or ate something, it came right back up. So Memorial Day was in the afternoon. It had been about 24 hours since he had eaten or drinking anything. And my dad can be a little bit stubborn, and he's like, I'm okay. We're going to wait till tomorrow. We're going to go ahead and go to the doctor or urgent care or something like that. And so we decided, Dad, you better go to the ER and just get checked out, because 24 hours, when you get up to that age, might be a little bit longer than when you're younger. But before we left the Memorial Day gathering, my wife said, let's just go ahead and pray. So we laid our hands on him and prayed, okay, took him over to the ER, and he was extremely thirsty. Naturally, he hasn't drank for 24 hours. So we said, just give me a little bit of water so I can swish it around in my mouth. So when he did that, for whatever reason, he swallowed it, and it stayed down. And he said, I can't believe that stayed down. So he did it again. About that time, the doctor came in and said, what's going on? My dad explained to him he couldn't eat or drink anything. Well, the doctor noticed there was about that much water gone out of the bottle. The doctor looks at him, puzzled. He says, well, go ahead and take another drink. So he drank about half the bottle of water, and the doctor's like, so what's the problem? So the doctor went out, and my dad was just like, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. He had no issues with it, didn't have to go have any kind of surgery done, and that is the power of God. That is the power of God. So that's the first one. And the second one is greater. I have an employee that I work with. He was 38 years old in 2021, and he had a massive heart attack. Had quadruple bypass surgery, so he had open heart surgery. Okay, went through the surgery very well. Everything was going good. A few weeks ago, he called me up in the morning. He says, hey, I'm having complications. I'm going to go to the doctors. I'm going to go get some tests run, but I'm very nervous this time. Can you pray with me? So I had the opportunity to pray with him over the phone, and this is the second miracle. He received Christ as his Savior. So while we were praying, he had an experience with God, and this was over the phone, but he said he felt God move in him. He has never experienced this before. And just trying to share what he shared with me, how he felt, he had this warm sensation come over his body, and he experienced something that he had never experienced before, and it was the power and the presence of God. He said before we prayed that prayer, he could not breathe in deeply without pain. After we prayed that prayer, he said he felt this sense of relief, and he could breathe in and breathe out without pain. So he goes to his doctor's appointment, and he says, well, one artery is 100% blocked, and the other is 90% blocked. So you've got four main arteries in your heart, right? One is 100% blocked, and the other is 90% blocked. He said, but the doctors aren't going to do anything about it, because I have new veins that have grown around the blockages in his arteries, and they are supplying enough blood that they are not going to do anything about it. But God, church. But God. If God can take a man who's 40 years old, ready for his second heart surgery, and grow new veins. This is a creative miracle. It's not something that's normal. There were no veins that were there before. These veins grew around the blockage to supply blood flow to his heart. And that is the third miracle that God has done in the last month that I've experienced. So let's just give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. But But this man's name is Dave Parton. You keep him in your prayers because he has had an experience with God and he doesn't want to let go, that he would come here. I was waiting for him to come to share that testimony, but it's been a month. I haven't seen him, but he has pictures of his heart. And when he comes, I'm going to have him share a little bit more about his testimony, but what God has done. So if you would just stand with me this morning, and we'll pray over the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in this capacity. Lord, we just pray that you bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love. want you to sing that bridge with us this morning. You know where he's brought you from. Hallelujah. Let me hear you sing it this morning. There's no shadow.
No shadow you won't line up. Mountain you won't climb up. No shadow you won't get down. Why you won't turn up.
You know that. You know that. Sing it again.
No shadow you won't line up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. Yes. Heavens.
I want you guys to stay here just for a minute. Oh, she has a special? Okay. We're going to stay in this song right now, and then we'll have Linnea sing a song after this. But this is what I want to do. I want you to go into that. I'll give you all my worship, Linnea, all right? Sister Linnea is going to continue to lead us. And I want to give an invitation to our young people. Last week we did a Converge service where young people took care of the service and things like that, and you all did an amazing job. And it was said that it wasn't just a young person service, wasn't an old person service, it was us as the church coming together. And I want to remind you, young people, that when we're here together on Sunday mornings, this is for you. This is your service too. This is your time to come and praise. And so I want to give an invitation as Sister Linnea continues to lead us in this song. Some of the adults came forward to worship this morning, but you young people are more than welcome to come into the altar place and just worship God freely. And so as we begin to just sing this part, I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. Anybody that feels compelled, if you're old, young, in between, doesn't matter. Just come forward. Let's give him all of our worship. All of our worship. Come on, Sister Linnea. Sister Linnea is going to lead us in another song. Let's just stay in this attitude of praise, giving our lives in worship unto him as we hear this song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Full of fire and faith.
I'm gonna stand, haven't done all I can. I'm gonna hand the fight to you. I ain't afraid of facing spears and swords. I know the battle is the Lord's. My faith's gonna shake these rafters. These walls gonna fall like Jericho. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. And fight like the fights don't matter. There's a victory I already know. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. I'm gonna stand, haven't done all I can. I'm gonna hand the fight to you. Before I hit the front line, you've already gone before. I know that I know. Shake these rafters, these walls gonna fall like Jericho. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. And fight like the fights don't matter. There's a victory I already know. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. Sing glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. My God is marching on, singing glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. My God is marching on. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter. Fights don't matter. There's a victory I already know. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. My faith's gonna shake these rafters. These walls gonna fall like Jericho. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter.
Hallelujah, we praise the Lord. Come on, let's give Him our praise. Open your mouths, worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter. Amen. Jericho. What's the rest of the words? Come on, we're still praising God. The rafters, like Jericho, back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. Hands high like the fire don't matter. There's a victory I already know. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. Hallelujah, sing it again. Praise on, take these wonders. These walls gonna fall like Jericho. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. Hands high like the fight don't matter. There's a victory I already know. Stand back, watch the enemy scatter, scatter. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us over and over to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That if we just hold our peace, the Lord will fight our battles. The only thing we need to do is just lift our voice and praise and worship unto him. The Israelites marched around the city of Jericho. For 6 days they marched around and didn't say a word. They just marched. We don't have to say a word. We can hold our peace because we know who's fighting our battle. And then the seventh day they marched 7 times around. And the last time around they began to lift up a shout. A voice of triumph that they won the victory because their God was on the scene fighting their battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. Somebody's going through a battle that you're facing and you want to talk about your problem. God's saying, just keep your mouth shut. He probably says it to you like that to me. He says, shut up, Joe. Just stand still and watch what I'm going to do. And then I just raise my hands and say, yes, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. You're fighting my battle for me. And I see him win victory after victory after victory for me, just like he does for you. Amen? How many of you are glad to be here worshiping the Lord this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. We were hearing of testimony this morning from Brother Jesse. I appreciate those testimonies. Thank you for sharing them. Testimonies stir our faith, right? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? We remember what God has done for us and know that Jesus shed his blood. And because he shed his blood and we've won past victories, that we're going to win the victory in the battle that we're facing right now. And so we need to hear those. But I want to just give God praise. Because there's two gentlemen in the house this morning that haven't been able to be with us for a while that we've been praying for, and they're healthy enough to come and join us this morning as Brother Charles and Brother Randy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're here with us. God's moving in their life. They're not 100% yet, but God also tells us in his word that he who started a good work is able to complete that work unto that day, right? And so we're going to hold fast of our faith and we're going to see God move and finish that work. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 That means let it be so. Amen. So it's going to be so because God said so. Amen? Amen? Praise God. I'm fired up already. I'm ready to preach. But we're going to have Sister Winter come. She's going to be our youth that's sharing this morning with us. I don't know where the microphone went. Here it is. And we want her to share a word and testimony that's on her heart for you this morning. Go ahead, sister.
I wanted to start off with a poem that I wrote because I like to write poetry. And it's called But God. I was lost, but I have been found. I was broken and beat down, but God, you turned it all around. Empty and dry inside, but God, you took my sin and washed me white. I was born into sin, but God, you made me born again. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood will never lose its power, yes. But God.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. So my family, they're not Christian, so I'm kind of like the outcast in my family. But I grew up in church, and I've been to numerous churches throughout my whole life. I've gone from church to church to church. And my mom would attend with me, but she doesn't you know, she doesn't bear fruit of what a true Christian should be like. But I started volunteering in church at the age of 13. And this church I attended was kind of like a mega church in a way. And so I auditioned for the worship team. And I learned to play the part. I learned to play church, really, because I grew up in a church. So we can get accustomed to learning to say the right things, learning to play the part, doing what you're supposed to do. But you don't have that true relationship with God. And so from a young age, I always believed that I knew God. I always believed that I had a relationship with him. But a couple years down the road, I realized for myself that that wasn't true. I was taught that I didn't have to read the Bible. I was taught that I could still go to church and do secular things. And so my whole life, I've lived a lukewarm life. I had a lukewarm faith. And then one day, I opened up my Bible, and I opened up to James. And I read the whole book of James, 5 chapters, and it changed my life from then on. I read my favorite verse of all the Bible is in James, and it's James 5:16. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective as it is working." And so from then on, I started doing ministry at the age of 16. I went to my first missions trip to New York City, where I experienced street evangelism for the very first time. And since I experienced that, my life has been an ongoing testimony of the goodness of God and seeing people's lives changed on the streets. And so I recently moved back from New Orleans. I lived there for 2 years. I did full-time ministry. And what we did was we would have ministry almost every day. We would have intercessory prayer. We would have homeless outreaches where we would feed 400 to 500 homeless people every week. And we would feed them hot tacos on the grill, ready to serve them. And we did that not because we want to feed them, but we did that because we want to minister to them. We want to feed not only their bodies, but their souls. And so I did that for a while. I did a lot of street evangelism. That's kind of my forte. I like to go out and tell people about Jesus. And during that time, I realized that I still had some things that weren't godly. I still had some things that I needed to work through. And I believe that, you know, we're never going to really arrive in our faith because we're always growing. We're always learning. God is always going to reveal himself to us throughout our life. And I realized that I didn't really have that born-again experience. I just played church. I learned how to perform. I portrayed a person that wasn't really real. And so during that time, I fully dedicated my life to Jesus, 100% born again, leaving what needs to be behind, leaving the past behind, and moving forward to the call of God and what he has planned. And I wrote down 3 critical resources that we need to live by as Christ followers. So the first one is, how can we know God if we're not seeking him? A lot of people think, oh, I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to go to church. But it's like a relationship. It is a relationship. Because if you have a spouse, for instance, the way you get to know them is if you spend time with them. You pursue them. And so that's how it is with Jesus. We have to pursue him. We have to seek him. And that is through his word. The second critical resource is prayer. How can we listen, receive, and respond if we aren't praying? And the third critical resource is praise and worship. How can you stay content and abide and or remain in the Lord if we aren't giving him thanks and shouting his name on the rooftops? And so one of the biggest life lessons I've learned that God has revealed to me personally is our testimony isn't about the person we used to be, the bad things we used to do, But it's all about Jesus. It all leads back to the cross of Calvary. It's all about going to his feet, going to the throne room boldly, realizing that we need a Savior. We need a God who is merciful and patient with us, who grants us the opportunity to repent. And that just proves to you how patient and loving our God is, because he grants us the opportunity to walk in repentance, to do a 180-degree turn around, because 360 is just a circle. We have to do 180 to keep moving forward. And so it's funny that Pastor Joe did the scripture, because that was my scripture that I had written down. It says, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives unto death, but they love Jesus." So that's my testimony for y'all today.
Praise the Lord. Our testimonies are important. What God does in our life, we need to share with others. And I love how she talked about the progression. And sometimes we may look back and say, oh man, I was really missing it for a while there. But because of the steadfastness of continually coming. And you have to understand that. Sometimes we're not where we need to be, and we know we're not where we need to be, but we just keep coming until we figure it out. And that is the grace and the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many are so thankful for that? That he brings us to that point. And like the sister said, he's still working on every one of us. I'm not where I need to be. You're not where you need to be. We won't be there until we finally cross over from this life to the next and get to be with Jesus. Because this world is not our home, right? So we're not where we need to be. But we're trying to take everyone with us where we're going, right? And that's what a testimony is all about. Well, we're excited about what God's doing in this place this morning. We're going to go ahead and release our students to go to their classes. I know we have Firehouse Kids this morning. For our children, our teens have their teen class this morning, and we also have a primary class and a nursery for the younger children. And I'm thankful for the people who serve in this church and are constantly teaching our kids, sharing the love of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. It's an important thing. It's why our kids are constantly growing in Christ. It's why kids want to come. Amen. Because we're ministering to them. But I do think it's vitally important, church, that we understand that when we come together and we're all together, no matter how old, how young, this is our service. This is our time to come together as the body of Christ. And so we need to continually be reminding each other of that. This is not a service that's specific for any age group, any class of people, any ethnicity, that we are all one body coming together. Amen. And so I want to share with you, I told you last week, I stood here in worship and just wept like a baby because I got to see the vision that God had placed in my heart for this house being fulfilled. We're in the middle of it. And there's some things that God has spoken to us that we haven't quite stepped into yet, but there's many things that we have begin to step into. And I shared with you that two of those things that God birthed in my heart was to be a multi-generational church and a multicultural church. And last week, as we stood in worship, and I saw the adults around me, but I saw the young people leading the worship, I was like, here's the multi-generational part. Kids, you know, and I say this all the time, and I mean it. It don't bother me the kids get noisy. They crawl out of their seat. They go different places that they're not supposed to go. You know why? Because they're in church. They're in church. And I would rather them be here. You see, when I was a kid, I had a drug problem. My parents drugged me to church every time the doors were open. Whether I wanted to come or not, kicking and screaming, they drugged me to church. And now, I am so grateful and thankful for that. Now, I know that's a play on words there, and y'all were like, what? Pastor had a drug problem. Yeah, I got drugged to church, and I'm thankful for it. We need to bring our children to church. Sometimes, moms and dads, it can be overwhelming. These kids will not be quiet. They're supposed to be quiet. Don't worry about it. Get them here. They need to be here. Why? Because whether you realize it or not, they're hearing what's being said and sung. Sometimes you may notice there's kids on the floor coloring. That's something to keep them busy so they're quiet. Guess what? You may think to yourself, I don't know how they're getting anything out. Just bless God. They're over there coloring and playing. Listen, they're hearing more than you're hearing. Because they have a young brain that hasn't been worn out yet. And they have to have that brain being active, moving. And so as they color, they're hearing everything that's being said. And they are in the atmosphere of the presence of God. And that's the key right there. I don't care if babies start kicking and screaming and throwing fits. Leave them in the atmosphere of the presence of God. God's moving in their life. Amen. And so we saw that multi-generational part last week. And then it hit me as Sister Catherine began to sing in Spanish. And I noticed that the congregation got quiet, but I also noticed this, that the same Holy Spirit was moving. And everybody knew it, everybody felt it, everybody was experiencing it. And now I was going, here it is, God, multi-generational, multicultural church. In a place where everyone else said, that's impossible. Cary, Ohio is whitewashed. You only got white people there. There's no way you're going to be able to reach multicultural people. That's just not going to happen. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening. Why? Because God is not the God of the white person. Come on. Somebody needs to say amen on that one. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. That's what my word says. Does your word say that? So our church should look like that. And so I want to just give you some notice about this, just give you an announcement. Yes, we're having our Hispanic meet and greet because we feel like God is calling us to reach an unreached people group in our county. And so we're going to start and plant a Hispanic church. That way we can have Spanish-speaking services. But one way we're going to do that is we're going to, after we get through this, and me and Pastor Darius and Pastor Dunia and Pastor Alicia, we've been talking about this and planning this and praying, asking the Holy Spirit, how do we go about this? Lead us, guide us, direct us where we need to be going and doing. And we feel like the way we begin this is with a bilingual service on a Sunday morning, right? Together with all of us, because we're one church. And I'm going to tell you, after God gets this thing kicked off how he wants to, and the Hispanic church starts growing and we continue to grow, there's going to be some services where we just have it all together because we're one church. We're going to do bilingual services from time to time because we're one church coming together. And if we have to use the youth sanctuary as an overflow, we'll use the youth sanctuary as an overflow. Let's just speak that into existence. Let's speak that into existence, right? That if it's going to be, it'll just be an overflow because we have so many people coming because we have two churches that are one church that are just growing and growing and growing. And then we're going to send people out. And this is the part of the vision that we're not fully seeing yet. So listen to me. We're going to start planting churches other places. God's going to raise people up. People, meaning plural. People, not just a man of God. People who are saying, God is telling us that we need to go here and start a church. And we're going to go, yes, we are going to be your mama church. And we're going to go help you plant that thing. And you're going to reach a people group in another area of the United States or another area of Ohio or another area, another county, another area in our region. And we're going to send you and we're going to see God flourish and grow that place because we're one church. Amen. That's the vision. We're going to begin to see those things happen and take place. And so I want you to continue to pray about these things. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I was thinking this morning as I woke up and went into my prayer time, I just told God, I'm excited because this is the Lord's day. And we get to come together as your body. We're your body and we're your collective body working everywhere all week long. But then today, we get to gather together. We get to praise you together. We get to worship you together. And that's exciting. Amen? Well, a few of you are excited, but not very many of you are excited. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to get into the word this morning that God's put on my heart. There's some things that we feel like God wants to do that I think is going to be a tremendous work of the Holy Spirit this morning. But I want to go back to the idea of service. I know Pastor Jordan preached a great message. I believe it was a now word, right? Now voice for us. God speaking to us. It went right along with everything God's been saying to us. But I want to go back into service this morning and deal with this core value that we have in this church of serving people. And if you've noticed, there's been a theme all throughout this service, even from Brother Lincoln's scripture he opened up with, of saying, hey, let's not be ashamed. Let's go tell people. Let's serve people, right? And we've been talking about evangelism on Wednesday nights. And if you can make it, I'm telling you, you need to be here. If you can't physically get here, we do live stream it. You can either go to our website or you can go to Facebook if you're a Facebooker. And you can see that, and they're there and they're archived. Go back. And I know sometimes we have live stream issues. That's just the devil, and we're working those things out. We're casting the devil out of our live stream, and it's just going to work, right? But make sure that you catch those things and hear those teachings, because what it's doing is it's stirring up in the atmosphere of this church a heart to say, hey, people need Jesus. People need Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, if the gospel be hid, it'd be hid that don't know it. So it doesn't do us any good to have something so great, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, is what it talks about, is the excellency of the power of Jesus Christ. It lives inside of us. But if we hide that, well, yeah, sure, we get it. But how selfish is that? How selfish to have the greatest thing in the world and keep it and not share it with anybody? I mean, that's like my wife making an amazing dessert and over there eating it and go, oh man, this is so good, Joe. Oh, this is so, and not saying, would you like to have a bite? I mean, that's just not fair, right? Yeah. I mean, she's supposed to share those things with me. We're one, right? We need to share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone. And I want to remind you, it's not our job to make them or get them to accept it. It doesn't matter on our end. We must be obedient and share it with them. That's our job as Christians. We have the greatest thing going in the whole entire world. Why would we hold it to ourselves? I'll never forget. Actually, I've heard this a few times. But the one time it really struck me, the first time I heard it, is a gentleman came, born and raised in Cary, Ohio, came to our church, experienced the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And he says, I think this is the best kept secret in Cary, Ohio. He meant that as a compliment. But when I heard that, I went, oh, God, forgive us that we would keep this confined inside of these four walls and not share it with other people. When we go up to Target this Wednesday, it's not going to be the best kept secret anymore. We're going to blast it to everyone. Our church secretary and treasurer, my mother, she asked, how many people attended Target service last Target service? I said, all of Cary. She didn't appreciate my sarcasm, but I wasn't trying to be sarcastic. All of Cary heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are setting a tone in our city. And it's going forth and going out and it's changing people. Why? Because we are ready to serve. We're ready to serve. And so I just want to remind you of a few things I shared with you. In Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that we should fear the Lord God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. We must serve him. We must give him every part of us, right? Every part of us. And then we went into 1 Corinthians and we talked about how God has given us spiritual gifts and has given the body and has called us to come together, and that no man can come and call upon the name of the Lord except by the Holy Spirit guiding him and directing him, and that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we've been given the Holy Spirit so that we can serve, so that we can do activities, so that we can administer Jesus Christ to the world. And it comes in various ways. There are multiple gifts that God has given. And what I want you to get a hold of this morning as we move into some and talk about some giftings and different things is that there is no gift better than another gift. That's why there's a variety of gifts. We as humans classify things. And it's terrible. It's terrible. We compare ourselves one to another. We think that, Pastor Alicia is a better Christian because of the way that she worships and the way that she prays. No. That is part of her makeup. That's part of the activities, part of the service that God's given her, and it encompasses the gifts that God has placed in her life. But your gift is not less than anybody else's. And it's not better than anybody else's. And if I remember correctly, I think we talked about how, when God needed to, he even made the donkey speak. So let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We're just here being willing servants to serve him in the variety of ways, in the variety of activities, with the variety of gifts he's given us. And so then he goes into, and just let me remind you this before I go into this scripture, that first and foremost, we're serving God. We talked about that, right? Then we serve one another. And as we serve God and serve one another, then we begin to serve the world. Now, that doesn't mean we worship the world. It means that out of our worship unto God, there comes an overflow, an outpouring that touches each other, brings us into the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and then creates a ripple effect that shakes the world around us. They will know you are my disciples by your love one for another. That's what Jesus said. And it all starts with our love for God. As we come and worship him and serve him, we begin to give our lives to him, and then out of an overflow of what we're receiving from him in his manifestation of his grace, in our time spent in his presence, there becomes an overflow from our heart that begins to touch other people's lives. Why? Because now there's a compassion and a love and a care that we have for each other. And then we have that growing and stirring amongst us that it gets to the point where now we care about everybody. Sometimes you know how much you're saved because you know how much you really would like to tear somebody apart and you don't do it. Because you think, that's not right and I love them enough not to lay my hands on them. And we want to put ourselves down. Oh, I can't believe I had that thought. Oh, I'm such a terrible Christian. No, you're a great Christian. You know you're saved now. Because if you wasn't rescued from your flesh, you would have went and gave them a knuckle sandwich. Praise the Lord. He gave you meekness or restraint in that moment. Right? That's how you know you're saved. There's evidence there. We don't look at it that way. We let the devil just beat us up and tell us how bad the Christians we are because some thought we had. Are you kidding me? He's the one that put it there in the first place. We begin to love people. And we do that through the gifts and the blessings that God has given us. Sometimes we talk about money in this way. And so just let me go here because I just felt a leading of the Holy Spirit. Is God blesses us with finances, not so that we can build our own little empires, so that we can take what we've been blessed with and bless others. And we don't have to know what the right, we don't have to tell the left hand what the right hand's doing. Right? We just are a blessing. We just see someone in need and we bless them. We give them things out of the abundance. But the same works with other gifts. There's other gifts. And so we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit here. I want to talk about them for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 8. I'm going to read this to you instead of just kind of flying through it because I wanted to get to this point. And there's some things I want to share with you in other passages of the Bible this morning, some things that God's been putting on my heart. But I think it's important as a church in the region that we are in that believes in the fullness of the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the fullness of the gospel. We believe that everything that Jesus did is still active today, right? We believe that what was written in the Bible is still relevant for today. I think it's important that we talk about these things, that we teach these things. And so we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit this morning. And we find them in this chapter, starting in verse 8. And the Bible says this. I'm reading the English Standard Version. It says, "For one is given through the Spirit, by the Spirit, the utterance or word of wisdom. To another, the utterance or word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts," plural, "gifts of healing by the same Spirit." Do you see a theme here? According to the same Spirit, by the same Spirit. It all comes from the Holy Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits or the discernment of spirits. To another, various or diverse kinds of tongues or languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. You see, these are not our gifts. These are gifts that belong to the Holy Spirit Himself. And as He wills, He apportions them to His church, not to the fivefold ministry, to His body. Now let me show you something here. Some people interpret this differently, but let me share with you the working interpretation that God has given me. And I said that on purpose because I think we're ever learning. We're always learning. And we can have a wrong interpretation of things. We can look at Scripture from a wrong perspective and conclude something that's not correct. So where I am right now is this, that here in 1 Corinthians, we have 9 gifts that come from the part of God which is called the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are one in the same. They are God. But there are 3 distinct aspects of God working as one. If you have a problem understanding that, the best way that God has shown me is us. I have a body, I have a soul, and I have a spirit. We are made in His likeness and in His image, right? So we are also Trinities just as God is a Trinity. Now that doesn't make us the Holy Trinity. No, we're just Trinities. We have body, soul, and spirit. Our soul makes up our mind, will, and emotions. That's the inner man. The spirit man only comes alive when we have been born again. After we've been born again, we've been born unto God, that spirit man comes alive. And now our body and soul are connected to God Himself. And we are awakened unto the things of God. That's why we call it being born again. So we're working and walking in these 3 aspects. Now, there have been times in my life, and maybe I'm just crazy, I don't know. But there's been times where I felt like my spirit, my soul, and my body were doing 3 different things. Yes. You felt that way too. Yes. Well, thank you, brother. I'm not crazy then. And that's where there's a moment of time where I see the 3 distinctions between them, right? So that's how it helps us understand how God works. He's one. He's all one in the same, and He's working together. And those 3 aspects of Himself are working together. Let us make man in our image. Right? That's what the Bible says. The plurality, the 3 parts of God creating something together. Well, then that means then each part of God has given its own group of giftings to the church. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, here I just read to you 9 spiritual gifts that says it's given to us by the same Spirit. One Spirit gave the church these nine spiritual gifts. But then if you read in Ephesians chapter 4, you see that it was Christ that first descended before he ascended and gave gifts to man. What were the gifts? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. The fivefold ministry gifts are given to us by the Son, Jesus Christ. And then in Romans chapter 12, you see that there are also a group of gifts, seven gifts given. These have been referred to as the motivational gifts, or what motivates people to live and fulfill their purpose. That's what they mean by that. Now, it doesn't say that in the scripture, but it says that God gave us these gifts, meaning the Father. And what we have to understand in Romans 12, which is different than 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, is those two things only come and operate in our lives after we've been born again. But in Romans chapter 12, because they are gifts given to us from birth, that means that we can operate them at any moment, any time, whether we know God or don't know God. Because they're God-given gifts. They're the Father's gifts to humanity. And we have to understand that in these giftings, God gave them for a purpose and a reason. And that is so that we could serve each other. Now, although we can use those God-given gifts, sometimes we call them talents, for our own purpose, to gain our own power, to gain our own advantage, to gain our own notoriety, to gain our own wealth, that's not what they're intended for. But isn't that amazing? Think about that just for a minute. That God the Father loves humanity so much that when he designs and creates a specific individual, he puts gifts in them that he will not take away. Because the Bible says that the gifts and the calling, singular, are without repentance. He does not repent of them. He doesn't take them away from people. And so we have these gifts that he's given us, and you have to understand that they've been given us to us so that we can give them to others. So Paul says, before he lists the gifts in Romans chapter 12, and you can go there if you want. We don't have it on the slide. I'm just following what the leading of the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. He says, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, or brethren, just means brothers and sisters. I beseech you. That word is very interesting because the original word in the Greek derives from the original word in the Greek for comforter. Parakletos, the comforter. And when the comforter has come, right, he will give you the power to do things. So Paul's saying that I'm coming alongside of you just like the comforter does. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and attaches himself to you to enable you, to help you. He says, I'm coming alongside of you to encourage you just as the Holy Spirit does. What is that? That's service. That's service. I'm coming alongside of you to encourage you and serve you and say this, that you should present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And the King James says, which is your reasonable service. Other translations say this, which is your spiritual worship. And this is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. There's no difference between the two. Reasonable service, we think, oh, that's the practical side of things. And I go and I serve people, and the gifts that God has given within me, I make sure that I give them to others. And, you know, but we don't think of that in a spiritual sense. We want to separate the two. And we think, well, our spiritual worship is when we're connecting to our spirit man and we're connecting with God and God is moving through it. No, 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 no. They are the same, church. Because just as you heard Sister Winter say, when you are saved, sanctified, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, there is no secular activity that you have. Well, Pastor, what about when I'm at the ball game? then guess what? Because you showed up, that ball game became sanctified and holy. Well, there's all kinds of ungodly things going on. Yeah, Jesus showed up to all kinds of ungodly things going on too, but when he showed up, it was sanctified and holy.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't Jesus living inside of you?
Yes.
I don't have secular activities, I do. I don't go and participate with the world. Now, I might be in the world, but I'm not of the world. And that means that when I go somewhere, I'm walking in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is with me. And so therefore, when I go places, there's certain things I'm not going to participate in that they're doing, but I can still be there. And guess what? The kingdom of God is at hand because I'm there. That is a gift. Now, let me remind you, that's not for us to think of ourselves as some great something. Because God can manifest any way he wants to. But that is for us to remember that when we show up somewhere, we are literally serving them the kingdom of God. And as we step into that dark place, light is shining. That's why you go places sometimes and people start getting an attitude instantly. They're uncomfortable. They don't know why they're uncomfortable. They think that all of a sudden they just started having a bad day. No, no, no. The light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. And the power that lives inside of us started messing with the darkness that was controlling them. That's service. We are practically going places, but we are also spiritually doing things. It's our reasonable service. It's our spiritual worship. And we think worship is a slow song in church. I give you all my worship. Do you know what you were singing this morning? You were declaring that, God, I give you my life to serve you. To serve you, God. I give you all my worship, saying, I give you my life for service unto you. Not just on Sunday morning in church when we're singing a song and we feel the presence of God moving. No, no, no. You are serving God all the time. All the time. You are serving him. That is worship. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You could say true servicers, people who are serving God, will serve him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means the practical and the spiritual collide inside of us. And this is where heaven meets earth. Wow. Here. 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 Is where heaven meets earth. It's the Eden concept, the Garden of Eden, coming back to life inside of us, where God now comes and communes in the earth, right here. Know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. And that means then that we should be constantly serving God in what we are doing. And that means that the gifts that are put inside of us are not for us. There's people that get this backwards in the church world. They think that gifts promote them. I'm going to tell you something right now. The biggest problem with the Pentecostal charismatic world is that we focus too much on gifts. And we think somebody's some great something because they have a wonderful gift that we just like. And we will use that gift and use that gift and use that gift, won't we? You know what I'm talking about, Pastor. You've seen pastors chewed up and spit out because they had a great gift. And we never gave them the love and the care that they needed. We just used them up. Because, oh, don't they have a great gift? How many ever heard that expression before? Oh, I love that gift. How terrible. How terrible. We promote people and put them in a high place of stature because they have a great gift and they have no maturity at all. That is setting people up for failure, church. Because the Spirit doesn't only give gifts, He also bears fruit. Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. And we must also be bearing fruit while we're using our gifts. If we don't have both in play, the spiritual and the practical, then our testimony is lost in the chaos. This is why I'm preaching this to you. That you're not just doing practical service. If I give someone a hot dog up at Target, that's just not practical service. That hot dog is now anointed because where heaven meets earth has touched that thing. And now I can penetrate the darkness and move into someone's heart because I practically gave them a hot dog that was Spirit-filled. Hot dogs can be Spirit-filled? No, but you are. And the service that you just gave them was. Because you're giving them more than a hot dog. You're giving them the gift that God put in you. You following me? I'm trying to get this down in your heart because it's more than just a Target service. It's more than just a church service on Sunday morning. It's more than just a Wednesday night Bible study. It is your life. How do you live your life? You don't enter your secular world when you go to work on Monday morning. That is the kingdom of God entering into a place that isn't always allowed to have it. But because you showed up and you are full of the presence of God, you are making a difference. Yeah. Yeah. This is what God wants us to do. This is how we serve people. And He wants us to flow in these gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are for the body of Christ. If they were only for the gifts that Christ gave the church, then in Ephesians chapter 4, it would have said, now, Christ first descended before He ascended, and He gave gifts to men, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, so that we could give them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So by one is given by the same Spirit a word of wisdom, and by another by the same Spirit a word. That's not how it went, was it? That's not how it went. What does Ephesians chapter 4 say after He lifts the fivefold ministry? For the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints. And if you read the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we are this morning in the preaching, you'll realize that the context is for the whole body of Christ. It's for the whole body of Christ. And He didn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Because you know what was going on in the Corinthian church? Some people thought they were better than others because they were used in the gifts. But remember what I told you. Just because the gifts of the Spirit flow through you doesn't mean that you're mature at all. Can I just get blunt with you? I have seen some of the meanest, dirtiest, rotten scoundrels talk in tongues before. And they think they're okay because they speak in tongues. God help us. They got tongues long as snakes. Not only are they talking in tongues, they're talking about everybody else too. And they think they're okay because they have this spiritual gift. Because we have left the impression that that is a sign of maturity. No. No. It's not. And it affects our witness. It hurts the church. It hurts the service of the church. When you act like you're better than everyone else because of the gift that you possess. There is no gift better than another one. And if you notice in the rest of this chapter, it starts talking about the importance of every member of the body. Every member of the body. That's why before we went into this, I preached to you about unity. Because if we are disconnected, then we will never be effective. And we will sit here and think that we are some great something because we have the gifts of the Spirit active in our services and in our lives. But we will never be effective or do anything for Jesus because we are disconnected. Where strife and contention come in, it rips the body apart. And then we think we're some great something, and we move on to something else. You know that denominations, let me just say it how I want to say it. Denominations. You know God never created them? Now, in our ignorance, just say it that way. That's a little bit nicer. In our ignorance, God will still use us because He needs to flow through something to reach the world. But denominations were created by people who started thinking that they were different or something better than someone else in the body of Christ. And they go, well, bless God, that's not how I read the Bible. The Bible says this and that's what it means, and so they separate. Or other times it's been because God began to manifest His power and His grace in some people's lives. And then the Pharisees, but the religious people didn't like it. So they kicked them out. Now let me just say this, since I'm preaching to a Pentecostal congregation, and if you didn't know that, sorry. This is what we label ourselves as, right? But because of our experience and how we were created, whether you realize this or not, there's something that we have to fight inside of ourselves. Because the Pentecostal denomination group came into existence after they were excommunicated from churches. They were kicked out of churches because they started experiencing this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And people begin to speak in other languages. And that made some people very nervous and said, we don't agree with that, we don't like that, and you're not allowed to come back to our church. So when that happened, they created their own group called the Pentecostals. Later on, there was another group that became charismatic. We believe very similar in certain things. There's differences, but to me, I don't really care about the differences. We believe in the fullness of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of these gifts that I just read to you. But we have to guard our heart, because from the very conception of our movement that we belong to, we have felt excluded. We say, well, Pastor, I don't feel that way. Really? Guard your heart, because you're part of a group that other people in the Christian world, Christian community, that you will probably share heaven with. Sometimes look at you sideways. Give you that side look like, what's up with this one? Because there are things that we are active in that are different from them. Guard your heart, child of God. Guard your heart, child of God. Do not let that create any kind of seed in your heart that there would be aught against you and them. Don't do it. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't care how bad they treat you, how bad they misunderstand you, and what they say about you. You love them with the love of Jesus. Because it's that kind of stuff that we've allowed to happen that's ripped apart the body of Christ, and it's confused the world around us. And that is not what our job is. Our job is to serve them and love them and care for them. That's why we have an ecumenical VBS. We join all the churches. We come together and carry. And we've made it a commitment. This isn't about anything but the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and He can save. And that's what we promote in carry. And let me tell you something, it's making a difference. It's making a difference. God's moving. God's moving in our city, because there's churches that don't care about the label on the door and saying the name of Jesus is the name above every name. And that's how we come together and serve. We serve God through the Spirit. Now, because we believe in these things, we should activate these things in our life. But let me just say this to you, and then I need to move on. But I want to hit these gifts of the Spirit. Don't be super spiritual when God is flowing through you in these gifts. Don't do it. Sometimes it just makes me shake my head. The way that we act. Now listen, I understand that what you're feeling is amazing. Sometimes you want to cry. Sometimes you want to laugh. Sometimes you just feel like your whole body's shaking everywhere, right? But if you go up to somebody and minister to them through the gifts of the Holy Spirit while they're moving on your life, and you sound like this, the power of God, they don't understand a word you're saying. And the Bible says that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. So what you do is, if you got to take a moment, take a moment. Take a moment. Go have your time by yourself with God. Then take some deep breaths. Whew, God, you're moving. Wow. Okay. And then make it conversational. Make it conversational. Have a conversation. Not a monologue, a dialogue. Because guess what? We can miss it. We can miss it. I mean, I might think it's Ryan that God's speaking to me about, because that's who I see. But really, my spirit was connecting to Sister Sally, who is right behind him. But because he's so much bigger and taller, I can't see her. So I start having this monologue where I'm telling the, thus saith the Lord your God to this guy, and he's going, this is not me. But I don't give him a word in edgewise, and I can't know that. And guess what? I can't learn. Did you know that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to judge prophecy? It's one of the few things that the Bible commands us to actually judge. And that when he says that we know in part and we prophesy in part, that means that when you get a word from the Lord, that you don't know everything he knows. And you're not supposed to give your interpretation of it. Amen, Pastor Joe. That's good preaching, Pastor Joe. That's going to help us grow up and mature. You don't know it all. You got a little speck of what God knows about a situation, and he told you to speak it. So go speak it and leave it. Make it conversational. Give it a dialogue. Ask questions. Does this make sense to you? Yeah. Wow. How did you know that? Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. And he revealed this thing to me. And he loves you so much. You see, the Holy Spirit's not a gossiper. Psst, yeah. Did you hear about Ryan?
Yes. Yeah.
That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is revealing something to us so that we can go and serve someone else. Amen. This is what service is about. This is what service is about. It's not about you being promoted with a gift. It's about you taking what you've been given and giving it to someone else. It's no different than with your finances. You think, well, that's just the practical way I serve the Lord. No, that's spiritual. And just as much as giving finances to someone is spiritual, so is giving a word of knowledge practical. Oh, come on. Thank you. That's the Holy Ghost right there. That ain't Pastor Joe talking. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gift of faith, the discernment of spirits. We over-spiritualize all this stuff and we think it's not practical at all. Yes, it's very practical. It brings heaven down to earth so that people can connect to God himself. It makes it practical. And so our service must be spiritual and practical both. This is what God wants us to do. And it starts with us serving each other. Let me read this to you. I read this in my devotional this morning. I'm telling you, God's been saying this all day today. This was my devotional this morning. It was about work. I thought, wow, I'm preaching on service and my devotional is about work. I want to highlight this to you. This is what it said. It said, emulate the character traits you see in God's work. Excellence, concern for the well-being of others, purpose, beauty, and service. When you have the perspective that you are actually working for God, it takes the focus away from the task and on to why you are doing it, to help people know God. Then it said this, work is an important part of God's plan for your life. God created work to give us purpose. And you thought that job was just so that you could pay your bills. No, not at all. When you are a saint of God, when you love Jesus Christ and you are a follower of Him, every job you're given is an opportunity for you to give God to others. It's service. It's service. It's what God has called us to do. Every one of us are supposed to serve. And so, here's the cool thing about it. This is how God works. As I'm praying about this and preparing this message in my heart to give to you, and then I read this devotional this morning, I was like, wow, that's crazy. And last night I got a text message and I wasn't able to respond to it till this morning. Brother Jake said, Jacob, he said, I feel like I need to talk to you about something. And so we were able to connect this morning before service and we called and talked. And he said, I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm supposed to wash some people's feet. I was like, oh my goodness. That's service. That's a display of serving each other. Wow. And I was like, let me pray about this and how we need to go about this. And we connected before church started. And I just want to read this to you because this is different for some people. Some of you probably have never experienced this in your life. And I'm not meaning to embarrass you, Brother Jacob, but he even told me, he says, I've never done this before. I've never been part of any kind of foot washing before. I think that's awesome because that just shows you, well, this isn't just some religious thing that somebody did growing up, like this boy here. I used to go to them foot washing services on night watch services and we would wash people's feet. No, this man of God has never done this before until today. But this is what the Bible says, John chapter 13, verse 14. This is after Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples in the upper room, at the Lord's Supper, as he implements that, he also implements this. And he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. You think, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, Jesus mandated to us that we're supposed to wash each other's feet. Now, I know the context of the culture then was different because they walked around in sandals and their feet got filthy dirty, and that was part of a service they would offer to people when they come in so they could be comfortable in the house. Their feet was clean. Anybody ever wore flip-flops all day long outside and how nasty your feet feel? I don't know about you, I can't handle it. I've always said this. At youth camp, we used to go around all the time, and it's outdoors, right? And these kids, they run around in flip-flops. I said, if we want a true foot-washing service, we should do it at youth camp. Have these kids wash each other's feet. You'd have to change out the water after every person because it's so nasty, right? But that's what it was like back then. But listen to me. This is something that Jesus instituted in his church where the practical and the spiritual come together once again. It's a practical sign of us humbling ourselves to each other, but it's so spiritual that there's a connection of unity that says, I love you so much that I will get down on my hands and knees. And you'll stink where you are, and I will be with you. Your stinky feet, I'm going to clean them for you because I love you with the love of Jesus. So this is what he felt. He wanted to wash the feet of the elders, the leaders of the church. So I'm going to ask, I know that he's interpreting to his wife right now, but when you're done, I want you to come, Pastor Darius. He said he wanted Pastor Darius. And those of you that are on our leadership team, those of you that are our board members, if you're willing, I know it can be uncomfortable, but if you're willing, I want you to come forward. Brother Jake wants to wash my feet. I'm going to let him do that, and then me and him together are going to wash the feet of these men of God. If you're willing to come forward, I want you to start making your way right now. Find a place, sit down on the bench, roll your pants up, take your socks and shoes off. And then there's one more thing I feel like we need to do before we move into the rest of the altar service. And I don't know how much time we have, but I'm just asking you to be patient with us here. And as Brother Jake is washing our feet, I want you guys to pray with us. Maybe your feet aren't being washed, but you feel like you're supposed to come and wash somebody's feet with him. I want you to come forward and do that. Come on, is this the only guys willing to do it? Got another one? I know it's weird, but I'm telling you, it's going to be powerful. Just use very little water. Yeah, go grab another bowl. I know.
Just take my heart. can take my mind, transform it, or take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, oh Lord. Take my heart, Lord, form it, and take my mind, transform it, take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, oh Lord. Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness, it's what I need. Brokenness, brokenness, it's all you want from me. To yours, to yours, oh Lord. To yours, to yours, oh Lord. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus, we praise you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to invite you. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today's an amazing day to make that choice. To give your life to Jesus Christ and to serve Him from this day forward. To say, no one else has control or is Lord of my life, but you are Jesus. No one else, I give my life to you. If that's you, then I want you to come forward when we give this altar call, make it open for you. But then maybe you do serve Jesus, you love Him. I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to service unto God and say, like never before, make a commitment in your heart. Say, like never before, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be intentional about what I'm doing. Every day of my life, I'm going to be spiritual but practical, and I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do, but everything I do, I'm going to do in the Spirit. If that's you, either one of those people, I want you to just make your way forward. You can come stand in the altars. You can kneel at the altars. You can pray. But I want you to just make a commitment to God today and say, yes, I'm going to serve you with my life. I give you my life today. That's you. Just I want you to come. And the other thing that I felt giving an invitation for was this. And this might be awkward or weird, but I just got to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is his first time here, so I don't want to put him on the spot. But Sabir, if I could wash your feet this morning, I'd love to do that. And Chase, you come with him. I want to wash your guys' feet this morning. Because I want to serve you with the love of Jesus Christ. And I think Brother Jake will help me do that. But we want to love on you guys with the love of Jesus. We want to serve you. And as we continue to worship and praise, I want you guys just to get in, receive what Jesus has for you this morning.
Take complete control.
love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We're so grateful for your love. We're thankful, God, that you would serve us. We're thankful for the expression you showed us how to serve others. And God, you are our leader, Jesus, but you served us as a leader. God, I pray that you would help your church begin to humble themselves down and be the servant leaders of this generation that they need to be. God, you have given us gifts and capabilities that go beyond us. We personally cannot do the things that you ask of us, but God, by your Holy Spirit, we are empowered. God, help us to begin to use those gifts appropriately, that we minister to people at a practical level, but it be completely spiritual at the same time. God, help us to connect to our generation. We are not obsolete because our message is not obsolete. Help us, Lord, to not have obsolete methods, but help us to have methods that will connect to this generation so that we can give them the great message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we serve them, as we serve each other, and as most of all, we serve you, God. Help us to commit these things in our heart. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be bold in your spirit. And God, know when you're speaking. God, also help us to learn, to mature in those gifts and to grow in those gifts. But most of all, let us mature in your spirit that we may bear fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, Lord. Self-control, Lord. Help us to be who you are to the world. God, we thank you that these works don't save us, but we thank you that because you saved us, we now have works of faith that we step out into, that we lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that we speak forth words of wisdom and knowledge and they come about, that we prophesy and tell people the word of the Lord, and God, that you would give us your faith to operate in, not just the measure that we have been given. Help us to grow in the faith that you have given us, to take us to the place where we need to be, that we may be strong, courageous people, men and women of God, to shine forth your light into this dark world, to take Jesus to them. For you are the answer of hope, God. You are the hope that we need. God, help us to share it with everyone. As we focus on evangelizing and reaching outside of these four walls, God, go before us. Prepare the hearts and minds of the people that you are having us speak to. Make ready for them to receive you, Lord, and give us a great harvest. We pray for the lost. We pray for their souls to come and to know you, that they would turn away from everyone else and follow you and be Christ's followers and be born again. God, we pray for the laborers, that you would send us forth and we would do the work and we would do the job and find our purpose in you. God, we pray for the prodigal sons and daughters, that they would return and come back home and work for you, Lord. God, I thank you that you're moving across this nation. I thank you that you're moving across this state. I thank you that you're moving across this region. I thank you're moving in our city and you're moving in us, Lord. God, I pray that as we continue to step out in faith, that you, God, would meet us there and manifest your presence among us. God, we pray for the Hispanic community that we're reaching into, Lord, and we pray for your church that it would be built the way that you see it, that there would not be this language barrier, Lord, but you would bring us together and unite us in your spirit, that we would be able to minister to every person in our community. God, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for every family that's here with us this day. We speak peace over them and blessing upon them, and may your face shine upon them. God, I pray that you would guide us through the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you all. Have a wonderful Sunday.